there's people, sir, like myself, that refuse to sign a lease.
Do you realize that forced pooling has been on the books since 1945? That the Mining and Energy Commission?
In 1945, we weren't talking about fracking.
One challenge before the state is how to make old 1945 laws compatible with new technology. The laws regarding compulsory or forced pooling were originally written with loose gas or oil in mind. Loose gas flows freely through the reservoir rock that contains it. Here's Jim Womack, chair of the Mining and Energy Commission.
Compulsory pooling was there to protect one landowner from having his or her energy resources or minerals removed from the ground by someone adjacent in another property.
Say two neighbors have a field of loose gas beneath their properties. If neighbor A puts down a vertical well, he will suck out neighbor B's gas too as it flows through the reservoir rock. Compulsory pooling allows neighbor B to force neighbor A to bring him into the production unit so he can share in the profits. But wells that require hydraulic fracturing do not work this way. The whole point of hydraulic fracturing is to release gas that is trapped in rock and won't flow. So compulsory pooling in this new context could mean the state could force fracking onto someone, whether they want it or not. Ed Harris, the guy we heard earlier who doesn't want anything to do with fracking, is giving me a tour of his farm. It's been in his family for generations.
My yard is usually full of squirrels, especially early in the morning, late in the afternoon. There's gobs of birds. This area here, just off the yard here, where you see the salt block sitting there, I have anywhere from 2 to 20 deer at a time.
The idea that the state could force Harris or anyone else into hydraulic fracturing angers him on principle. Mindful of the wildlife on his property, the deer, the squirrels, and the 150-year-old hardwoods, he's worried that hydraulic fracturing could damage the well water that supports so much of the life on his farm. He drinks from this well, too.
It's everybody's dream to have a well like the one I have. It's 198 foot deep. Once we deplete that, there's no way to replace it. That's one of the big problems. And they think they turn on the tap and that water's always going to be there. What do you do when it's not? You can't drink oil. My land belongs to me. It does not belong to the state of North Carolina. My land is an extension of my living room. This is my home. No one has a right to invade my home.
The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the state could use its police powers to regulate the orderly extraction of gas. In order to prevent waste, compulsory pooling also allows any one well to be drilled at a longer horizontal distance, reducing the number of wellheads as well as the cost of production for gas operators. Some see compulsory pooling not as a threat to private property rights, but as a way to enforce them.
The reason compulsory pooling is important is because we respect constitutional rights that land and mineral rights owners have to pursue happiness.
Again, this is Jim Womack, chair of the Mining and Energy Commission.
If you are denied the opportunity to extract those minerals because you have a landowner that's on another side of you that chooses not to participate in oil and gas drilling, then you're being denied that right. Compulsory pooling helps to resolve that. So that's kind of why we are leaning towards continuing or sustaining compulsory pooling in North Carolina so that no one is denied that right.
Womack insists that the state will try to respect the wishes of any person who does not want hydraulic fracturing on their land. He adds that if a person's property is forced into a production unit, he or she will be compensated fairly. The next meeting of the Mining and Energy Commission's Compulsory Pooling Study Group is on Friday in Sanford. For North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, I'm Richard Ziegler.